Judy Craig is a senior practice advisor with Atticus and is also a master certified coach. Judy has coached attorneys since 1996 and has a great deal of experience in advising them on how to increase their income, decrease their stress and time in the office, and take control of staffing headaches. Judy's also the author of 4 nationally published books, a former syndicated columnist, and has been interviewed on over 100 radio stations. She's been a guest on Larry King Live, The Today Show, NBC News, CBS News, and more. So, Judy, with that, I'll turn the call over to you.
Okay, thank you so much, Susan, and welcome, everybody. Today, of course, as you know, we have the call that's called No Crystal Ball When Finding New Staff, because we are very pleased to have our guest, Carletta Neal, from Omnia. And Carletta is a senior consultant with the Omnia Group, which is an employee selection and management consulting firm that assists clients in hiring the right person by administering personality-based hiring tools. And her scope actually encompasses a wide range of industries, but she has had particular emphasis in working with law firms. And Omnia has been working, Atticus has been working with Omnia now for what, Carletta, about 8 or 10 years, something like that?
At least.
At least, that's right. And so we're really glad to have her today. She's going to talk about some common mistakes during hiring, reasons for turnover, how to utilize people in maximizing their potential, how to do supervisor benchmarking with Omnia, and she's also going to tell us about the Omnia profile itself and how you go about getting one. Now, Susan had mentioned that we do have a sample Omnia report on the website, so I'm going to tell you how to access that in case some of you are sitting at your computer. You may want to access it, but if not, you want to access it at some time after the call. And as you know, the way you do that is you go to the website, www.atticusonline.com. You click on the login at the top of the navigation menu, and to access the graduate calls, the username is graduate, and the password is Atticus, lowercase. Once you get there, you click on Recorded Calls, and what you'll see at the very top of that list is a PDF download of an Omnia profile. So you can either access that now so that you'll have it up when Carletta talks more about that, and or you can, of course, access it after this call. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Carletta, and she is going to leave about 10 minutes at the end of the call for questions. So just to know, if you have a hot question, write it down, and there will be time to answer it. So, Carletta, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Judy. It's a pleasure to speak with everyone this afternoon. And if only I could provide you with that crystal ball, it would certainly make practicing law much easier, I know. And we talked about those staffing headaches that throw a kink in things and remove us from the things that we should be doing and have us focusing on other issues. But I want to have you stop and kind of reflect back on the whole, maybe the last time you hired someone or some of the interviews that you've conducted in the past. And I want to ask you, have you ever hired someone that you really liked in the interview? You really liked them, but they just couldn't do the job once you made that hire. Or have you ever hired someone who had the skills to do the job but just didn't fit in with your firm, maybe? It's probably left you really wondering, you know, how can I improve my hiring results? How can I be more successful in the hiring process? There's 2 main reasons for turnover. And the first reason is bad selection. In other words, you hired the wrong person. You hired someone who didn't perform well in the job. And this can be the result of, you know, different things. And one of the reasons may be that you have a poor or inconsistent selection practice. Inconsistent selection practices sometimes causes us to make hiring mistakes. it's really important that you have a very structured process, and it's a process that you don't skip steps. Maybe you have a candidate that, like I said, you really like, you kind of bond with them. Maybe you know some things about their, work history in the past, or who knows, maybe they live next door to your mother. And sometimes that causes us to lose our objectivity, and we tend to skip some of those steps or rush through some of the steps. Or maybe you're just simply really rushed because you really, really need to make this hire. You're under pressure to fill this position. Or maybe you're relying on your gut. I hear that all the time. Oh, no, I use my gut instinct. And maybe the candidate just was very impressive in the interview and had all of the right answers. Because it's kind of easy to find right answers sometimes. All you have to do is go to the job boards, and they'll supply you with interview questions with answers. If you really do your homework well, you can go pretty prepared for an interview. So maybe this person, was really a nice person, you liked them, had all the right answers, and you were just really convinced that this person was going to be a big asset to the office, and you were just, they're going to set the world on fire. And you really thought they were, had a lot of qualities and a nice person. Well, you were right about one thing after you made the hire. They are nice, and everybody does like them. But guess what? They can't do the job. They don't quite perform like they convinced you they would. Maybe it's even as if the evil twin shows up for work. I talk to so many employers in a lot of different industries, and it can be a very frustrating thing. But the whole point is, once they're on your payroll, it does make things a little bit more difficult. So one of the first steps, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the actual hiring process from A to Z, because that would be, a whole different workshop in and of itself. But I do want to touch on some of them, because they really are important. And the first step in really having a good hiring process is to first understand the job requirements, understand the position you're trying to fill. Really know what you're looking for. Define your needs. Sit down and get out, pull out a pen and paper and define the needs of that position. Because you really do want to avoid unclear job expectations, for one thing. You don't want to make that hire only to have that employee show up for work and then be dissatisfied in the job. You can lose a person for that reason as well. So it's very difficult to target the right candidate when you really don't have a clear understanding of what you're really even looking for. Now, I do understand that positions do change, kind of depending on maybe who's on vacation. We have to wear different hats, but you still want to have a good understanding of the position that you're actually trying to fill. So after you've defined that and have an understanding, of that position, then it's kind of time to review some resumes. And there's a few tips I'll give you, and I can go into more detail. If you ever want to call me, I can go into more detail on some of these steps. But just to throw some tips out there in reviewing the resume, you want to take a look at it and see if did it come with a well-written cover letter. You want to check for grammar and spelling errors, because this is certainly going to indicate someone's inattention to detail if there's grammatical and typos, on the resume. And you want to start from the end of the resume and work your way up. You want to look for positive progression in a resume. And just to kind of throw one little tidbit of information out there, those who are constantly forced, if you will, you'll hear that they were forced to change jobs. Those who are constantly forced to change jobs typically don't last longer than like 2 years in a position. So, you really want to look for that. You want to also look for years only. If they don't tell you the month of the year, as far as the length of time in a position, it's a good way to hide gaps of unemployment when you just list years. So you want to keep that in mind as well, and when you actually are reviewing the resume. But what about the interview process? Some of the interview do's and interview don'ts. I would suggest that after reviewing resumes that you maybe conduct a brief phone screen. That can save you some time in the whole process. You'll be surprised just by talking on the phone with some people for a good 5-10 minutes that you'll eliminate some of those people just by, that brief conversation. Maybe maybe they don't present well or articulate themselves well over the phone, or maybe they discover that it's not a position that they that meets their needs. So you can really screen through candidates that way as well. And then you'll want to invite the remaining candidates in for the actual interview. So some things to think about when you conduct an interview is to really kind of familiarize yourself with the candidate's resume before they actually are sitting in front of you, just so you can kind of target areas in that actual interview. So you want to make the person, you know, feel comfortable, and you want to have them recount jobs from their, you know, first to the last position. And you don't want them looking at the resume, you know, every time you're asking them to recount positions. So you really don't want them to even have the resume in front of them necessarily. But you want to ask a lot of open-ended questions, take a lot of notes, but you don't want to write those notes on the resume itself. You want to do that on a separate piece of paper, because that's the resume is going to be something that you file away for a period of time. And if you ever have to pull that back out, if you're ever challenged in any way, you certainly don't want to, well, you want to be very careful about what you've written there. So we say it's a good practice to write that separately on a different piece of paper. But you also don't want to do all of the talking in the interview, and that's probably the biggest mistake is, you know, sometimes we really love our practice, we really love our office, and sometimes we want to sell that in the actual interview. So you really want to keep in mind the good 80-20 rule. You don't want to be shy, you know, don't be afraid to probe and restate questions if they're not answered, if they're answered in a vague or, inconclusive way. And you don't want to be too friendly or social, because sometimes that can lead you into a direction to where you might ask questions that you really shouldn't be asking.
Kim Lowe?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, we're having a presentation. If you would put your... if you would hit the 6 button, that will put you on mute, and then when we get to the question answering period, you can unmute yourself to ask a question.
Perfect.
Okay, thanks.
You just want to be careful about, okay, thank you. You just want to be careful about the questions that you ask. You don't want to ask personal or potentially discriminatory questions. And you really want to be aware of the questions that you, questions not to ask. And that's something, if you want a list of those, it's something I can, fax or email right over to you. And it's important to kind of have that in front of you, because it's easy sometimes when you start getting into chit-chatty conversation that that information can come out. And it may even come out without you asking. The candidate may start disclosing information that you really shouldn't be hearing. So you want to know when that happens, when to kind of divert the conversation into another area. So that's something I would be happy to email over to you if you want that. But think about, you know, asking good traditional interview questions, but you also want to ask some good behavioral-based questions as well. Because remember I mentioned you can go to various job boards, and they will supply you with all of the good basic, well, not even basic, just enormous amounts of interview questions with responses. So, you know, you want to ask some good traditional questions. And an example of a traditional-type interview question would be, what are your strengths? Describe your goals. Are you task focused? You know, that's a typical type of traditional question. But you really want to also include behavioral or situational questions, and that focuses more on specific job related skills through identification like past circumstances. So an example of that would be, let's see. I don't know how many of you are like Pete Townsend fans, if you think of who, this might help you a little bit. But, for example, you might say, tell me about a time when you disagreed with your employer. So think of who, think of WHO. You know, what happened, and have them answer that question. And don't answer it for them, and don't lead them. You just sit there until they answer it. You know, what happened, how did you handle it? That would be your H. And then the O would be, what was the outcome of that? And that's just, you know, a very simplistic question, but that would be an example of a behavioral-based question. But I want to mention that when you receive an Omnia profile on a candidate, we will give you behavioral-based questions that you can use in the interview with that candidate. And those questions are designed around the position and also around the results of that individual's profile. So if we've targeted some weaknesses there, you'll notice that there'll be questions to help you kind of uncover more information, if that makes sense.
So, Carletta, this is Judy. You're just saying that, in other words, that when somebody gets an Omnia profile on a candidate, you also provide customized questions based on the person's profile that would be appropriate to ask.
That's exactly right.
Great.
We would provide you with behavioral questions that you could ask that candidate. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. And if you ever want more, just call me out. Email them over to you as well. So it's really nice to, you know, it gets stale sometimes, you know, interviewing repeatedly, and it's sometimes hard to think of good questions, you know. So you'll notice that you'll have different questions, you know, with the profile reports. It kind of helps you stay fresh and not fall asleep yourself as you're conducting those interviews. So we talked a little bit about, you know, turnover, and we talked about, you know, bad fit, hiring the wrong person, bad fit to the job. But, you know, you can also, there's also another issue. It's not only someone's bad fit to the job, but maybe they have good fit to the job, but they just don't fit in well with your work environment. They don't fit well in your workplace. And just an example of that might be if you think of your, say, work pace of the office. Have you ever had an employee that there's just not compatibility there? Maybe, you know, maybe the pace of your office is kind of blitz-paced, and you have someone that's, you know, very methodical maybe and just really operates, you know, in a slower fashion and kind of gets their feathers ruffled if things speed up, or maybe if you give them two things at once, you know, it really bothers them. Some people just kind of work in a stack almost, and, you know, they don't do well when things are a little quick-paced and a lot of things going on, having to shift gears quickly. Some people do better with that than others, and that would be one thing that we would be identifying is, you know, is this person compatible to your work environment? How are they going to play into your work environment? So it's just about giving you more information about that candidate. But talk about turnover. So we have one cause of turnover is bad selection. Hired the wrong person. Bad fit to the job, maybe. Bad fit to your work environment. But what about mismanagement? I didn't say bad management. It doesn't mean we're a bad manager. It just means that maybe we don't understand our employees' hot and cold buttons, you know, how they're motivated and how they're demotivated. It's managing employees is a very interesting a position sometimes. I mean, it can be rewarding, but it can also be extremely frustrating. And sometimes there's very common management mistakes there. Maybe we're managing our people the same way. You know, we manage everyone the same way, and we think that's what we're supposed to do. And you notice that you're very successful with some of your staff, but others are very unhappy in the way you're managing them. And you're sitting there going, oh, I handle everyone the same way. I manage everyone the same way. How come I'm, you know, doing well with some and not all? Or maybe we manage our people the way we would want to be managed. Maybe we have employees who need a very available boss, and we tend to be a little more hands-off, you know, in our management style. You know, maybe you think you're doing a really great job managing because you pull your employee aside, you know, take them into your office, and give them one-on-one specific feedback, very serious professional feedback, one-on-one, and you think that, you know, you're doing a good job with that individual, only to discover they feel undervalued and not motivated, because maybe what you don't realize is they need more, hey, some people want to see their name in lights, you know, they like that public recognition, they like that rah-rah cheerleader manager. You know, they want the employee of the month parking space. And it's just about understanding what your management style is, what the management preferences are of that particular person, and understanding things that you might could do to really be more effective and get the most out of that person.
And Carlotta, this is Judy again. I just might throw in a comment that the new research on the generations in the workforce, you know, many of the managing partners or the people that are hiring in law firms are in the baby boomer or what they call the radio baby generation, and many of the new employees that are coming in are in their 20s and 30s, which would be Gen Xers or Gen Y. And the Gen X and Gen Yers absolutely need feedback. They're used to it, they want it, and they want positive and negative feedback, but they, to them, that shows that you're interested in them. And they also need a lot of acknowledging. So that, again, is something else to take into consideration with your management style.
Absolutely. In fact, we're doing a lot of research right now here at Omnia on the whole generational piece.
Oh, good.
So you're absolutely right on the money there. So basically, we all agree that the cost of employee turnover is enormous, and it can just have a huge impact on our office if you lose an employee, whether you've let them go or they've quit. I mean, every bad hire is costly, and when that happens, it takes us away from the things that we should be doing, like managing the office or practicing law. And here we go again, you know, screening candidates, gathering resumes, conducting interviews, and then making a hire, keeping your fingers crossed, and having to go through the whole training process again. So I'm sure we can all agree that cost of turnover can be very frustrating and very expensive. And what Omnia is doing, the Omnia Profile is a behavioral assessment tool. It measures a person's preferred behaviors and natural tendencies. Now, when I say behaviors, usually people's eyebrows go up. I'm not talking about the kind of behaviors that we see on the Jerry Springer Show. It's a non-pathological measurement. It's a psychometric assessment. So it's looking at job-relevant behaviors, the behaviors that people bring to work with them every day, and those types of strengths and weaknesses. So it's measuring the person behaviorally. And it's used, like we're talking about, as a selection tool. It's a hiring tool, helping you to make a well-informed decision by looking at natural fit to the job, natural fit to the work environment, and compatibility with the management style. It really helps increase the potential for success there with that person by identifying that fit and those strengths and weaknesses. Really uncovers hidden behaviors that you're not going to be able to detect just by interviewing somebody. I mean, they can tell you that they have great detail orientation and work with a high level of accuracy. But that's something that you just can't really measure by conducting an interview. And that would be just one example, one behavior that we do measure. So it's a very objective measurement. It doesn't know that you really need to fill this position. It doesn't know that this candidate, like I said, maybe lives next door to your mother. It keeps you very, very objective. Another thing that we can do is not only compare the candidate to your job and workplace, but we can also compare the candidate to other employees. So maybe your legal assistant is exceptional. Unfortunately, this person's leaving, and you need to replace this position. What you can do is actually we'll profile that top employee and then compare your candidates to that employee. So it's going to help you target candidates, you know, most like your top employee. So we'll identify similarities and dissimilarities. That's all called peer benchmarking, and that's part of the profile process. We can also compare the candidate to the person they're going to be reporting to, whether that be the attorney or the office manager, or whatever the case may be. We'll compare the candidate to the manager, and we call that supervisor benchmarking. So what we'll do in your candidate's report, in the narrative of the report, where we talk about, you know, their fit to the job and their fit to the work environment, we're going to then give you some customized management advice, identifying compatibility there, telling you how you, with your personality, as the manager being what it is, how you'll best communicate with this potential new hire with their personality being what it is, and how you would best develop them. So it's looking at it's really designed to give the manager very customized, you know, feedback on how to best manage that person. And that's the purpose of supervisor benchmarking. So it's, you know, it's a great tool for the hiring process, but it's also, the profile's great to use with your existing staff and your existing employees as well, because, you know, we can identify if you have them in the right position, where they may best be suited, really help you maximize their potential, maybe give you some ideas on how maybe you could tweak a position so that you're really, really getting the most out of that person, help you understand their strengths and weaknesses, and, again, how to best manage that individual so that they're really reaching their potential. So it's a selection tool, and it's a retention tool and management tool as well.
Carlotta, let me ask a question. You mentioned making sure that the person fits with the culture of the firm. And you've talked about benchmarking the supervisor or benchmarking the person that's been successful in that job. But what do you mean when you say you compare them to the culture? How do you find out the culture of the firm?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking. What we do, when you get set up with Omnia, and let's say you have your first candidate that you're going to profile, and let's just say it's a legal assistant position. We're going to get you to complete a document that we have, and it will be right in your online account, and we will walk you through this. It's very simple, but it gives us information about the job and about your work environment. So we have a target, if you will. We'll have a job set up, we call it, on each position that you profile for or against. And you'll complete that for us because we want to know as much as we can about your work environment and about your job. So the more information we have from you, the more detailed and specific and customized the feedback is going to be from us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thanks very much. So in other words, they fill out something before about the firm and the specific jobs and so on in addition to whatever profiles you're going to run.
That's exactly right. So therefore, when the candidate or the employee or whatever the case may be, whenever they take the profile, when it comes to Omnia Online, our analyst, because this is written by an analyst, this is not computer generated, that's what makes it so customized. Our analyst will then look at the candidate's behaviors and then compare them to your position that you're considering them for. They'll say, oh, okay, this person is a legal assistant candidate. Let me look at this particular firm's legal assistant position and their work environment and see if there's any peer benchmarks or supervisor benchmarks that they're also going to compare the candidate to as well. And then the analyst starts writing the narrative of the report. So it is truly very customized. And the attorney or office manager will complete these job setups for us, you know, before they actually profile the candidate. And it's an easy process. And like I said, we'll walk you through it. Take you a whole 5, 7, or 8 minutes to do that. But
that's great.
That's how we gather that information.
And that's why you all tend to be so accurate.
Yeah.
And you really do your research.
Yeah, it's a little scary, isn't it? when you actually read your own Omnia profile, it's like, ooh. but for every there's never a bad, it's not a pass-fail thing. It's really just identifying a person's natural ability in the position. And for every strength, there's going to be a weakness. We all know that, you know. So it's really about uncovering those behaviors, identifying how that person's going to play into the position so you can really make a good, well-informed hiring decision. And when you make the hire, I really want to emphasize this. If you've made that hire, don't take the Omnia profile report and tuck it away in the file, because really what you have is a great management tool to help you get the most out of that new hire. Call us anytime. We will pull that profile report up and go over it with you and give you management advice and just really help you develop your staff. So it's a hiring tool, but don't leave it at that. I mean, then use it as a manager to help you really manage that person as well. Should I briefly kind of go over the report? Does everyone have the ability to see one? Or is that something you want me to do one-on-one? If people want to call me, you just tell me what makes sense.
Do you have one that we can use as a sample?
Yes, let me explain if you may not have been on the call when we talked about it. There is on the website, if you pull up the graduate network recorded calls, even though the profile is a written Adobe Acrobat file, but it's listed under the recorded calls, and it's the very first thing that you'll see when you do that. And just to remind you, for those of you with a computer, you go to www.atticusonline.com, and then you, at the top of the navigation menu, it says log in, so you click on that, and the username is graduate in lowercase, and the password is Atticus in lowercase. Then you'll be in the graduate section. On the left, you'll see recorded calls. You click on that, and the first thing you see is a sample profile. So, Carlotta, I would think maybe not everybody is, able to access it right now. They'll have to access it later, but I still think it would be, I'm sure many people are able to access it, and that, if you wanted to go through and just kind of tell what's in it, and that people that can't access it can still get a feel for what the Omnia report is like.
That's a great plan. And also, if they would like to call me again, just to have me go over the report with them and explain to them, what they would actually get back from us. I mean, that's what I do. So don't hesitate to call me or send me an email, and I'll explain it to you. But I'll just keep it, kind of brief for those who don't have it in front of them.
Good.
But,
okay.
Yeah, the report that you're going to get back. One thing I just want to take a back step for a second, and because we talked about being customized and comparing the candidate very specifically, to the attorney's position. I want to mention that we do have a database of law firm targeted positions, if you will. So we have a kind of an industry standard for various positions within the law firm. I really prefer that the attorney or the manager or whoever customize these, because it's just important that they identify or understand, their candidates fit to their position. But we do have industry standards, if you will, that they could even just work from and edit a little bit. And again, we'll walk them through that. But back to the Omnia Profile Report. When you get an Omnia Profile Report back from us, if this is done on a candidate, you'll have a score from a 1 to a 10. That's up in the top right-hand corner. It's that OCR stands for Overall Compatibility Rating. This particular candidate scored a 6.4. It's, like I said, it's from a 1 to a 10, and I'm not going to get into the technicalities of all of it, but I will if you want to, again, we'll go over that. But that's the overall score. If you look down and to the left, you'll see OECR. That stands for the Omnia Environmental Compatibility. And then over to the right, OVCR stands for Omnia Vocational Compatibility. That person 6.2. We average the environmental and the vocational compatibility, and that's where we get the overall score of that 6.4. So every candidate's profile is scored. If you're doing this on an employee as a management tool or retention tool, we're not going to score them unless you really want us to, but typically we don't. And we do write it a little differently. If you're doing this on a candidate, it's very frank. It's very black and white. It's a very frank discussion on whether you should or should not hire this individual. It's not really something that we write thinking you're going to share this with anyone, because it is pretty frank. But if you're using this as a management tool with an existing employee, it's a great tool to sit down with that employee and set goals for them and evaluate them. And keep in mind, you have an Omnia profile report in front of you as you're sitting with the employee. So it kind of makes us the third party, if you will, or it kind of takes the heat off of you a little bit as a manager when Omnia is pointing out some areas of weaknesses maybe that you can address. You're not the bad guy, we are. So it's a great management tool that way. But we do write it a little more diplomatically, if you will, so that you can actually share the results with the employees. So underneath analyst comments, that's where you're going to see this. That's the section that's actually written by one of our analysts. And it's in this particular sample, this is on a candidate. The first sentence tells you that this candidate is dissimilar to your indicated needs for a paralegal. I mean, that's pretty black and white. And the rest of the narrative is going to explain to you why, you know, what their differences are, the incompatibility issues, but we'll also give you management advice just in case you make the hire anyway. We're going to, you know, kind of tell you things that you might could do to maybe get the most out of them. If you look at columns 1 through 8, I won't go through each column unless you want me to, want to call me, and I'll be happy to. But columns 1 and 2 run in a pair. I just want to make sure you understand that. 1 and 2 run in a pair. As 1 goes up, 2 goes down. As 2 goes up, 1 goes down. So that column, those two columns are measuring a certain proactive and reactive behavior, and it's kind of looking at someone's comfort with risk. You know, is this person a very take-charge person, or is this someone who's much more of a really values and needs more security, or more of a behind-the-scenes service-oriented individual? That would be represented in column 2. Column 1 is someone who's more take-charge, more of a risk-taker, someone who's very goal-driven. So as 1 goes up, you have a lot of that behavior. So they run in a pair. They run up and down. 3 and you can't be both high or both low there. 3 and 4 run in a pair, and that's looking at communication style. Is this someone that you would want to answer your phones, you know, and deal with your clients? Is this someone who's going to be really very good at the social part, establishing rapport with your clients? Could be that maybe if that behavior is too dominant, it could be that they make friends with everybody and they don't really know when to hang the phone up and move on to the next task. I mean, I'm sure you've probably experienced that as well. They get so personally involved with everyone, and when they really need to you know, stay a little more objective and be able to shift gears and move on. But that's looking at communication style. So we're going to look at that candidate's, the levels of those behaviors, and then compare them to your position and let you know, what the communication style is going to be like. So we're going to be looking for certain ranges depending on your position. 5 and 6 is looking at work pace. 5 is someone who's very quick. If you have all of 5, for example, they're very quick-paced, time-driven, shift gears quickly, work well under pressure. But as 5 goes down and your 6 goes up, if you have a dominant 6, that individual is more task-focused and methodical and very dependable person. So there's different strengths, there's different weaknesses for each behavior. As you can see, you can have all of 1, or you can have ranges there. So that's what we're looking at, is the ranges of the behaviors, who this person is, and then we compare them to all those other issues, you know, the job and the environment and the benchmark. 7 and 8 is looking at big picture person or detail-oriented, a very detail-oriented individual. 7 is the big picture person who likes to work independently and self-manage and very good at thinking outside of the box, thick-skinned, but as the 7 goes down and the 8 goes up, so you have all 8, that person's your perfectionist. Dot the I's, cross the T's, make sure everything is accurate, works with a very high level of accuracy, and very organized. And all of those behaviors that I've gone through in about a whole 1 minute play into positions differently, whether it be in an attorney position, a legal assistant, a paralegal, a receptionist, an office manager. Each one of these measurements, each one of these behaviors play into those jobs uniquely. And that's what we will explain to you underneath analyst comments, if that makes sense. If I don't know if you can see the full report. Is it something they can scroll down? And
yes, yes, it is. I have it right here online, and you can scroll down. And I noticed that you have things like punctuality, appearance, things for you to look at when you're interviewing, and also some open-ended questions.
Absolutely. The second page, I'll quickly go through these supplemental pages. The second page is primary personality traits. So what that means is these are the dominant behaviors that we've detected in this individual. It's the columns that I quickly went through. We're talking about the dominant behaviors, and we're going to explain to you on this page what they are, what they represent. And then if you turn the page again, you'll see something titled Interesting Behavioral Dynamics. There are certain behaviors. If you're dominant in certain behaviors, they are a little unique and may play into the position uniquely. If we see something like that, we're going to talk about it underneath interesting behavioral dynamics. We also have a section called performance issues. This is where we are actually measuring judgment maturity, how defined the person is in their personality, we're looking at personality definition and focus and commitment level. And again, we explain all of that, the candidate's results underneath performance issues. And it's a great measurement. And intensity and purpose is a very important measurement. If the person has some issues in that area, we again talk about all the red flags are discussed underneath analyst comments. So it's not like you're analyzing anything at all. It's all discussed by our analyst in that section. And it does affect their score if there's some red flags there. If you turn the page again, you'll see talent management. And that's where we're talking about that individual's hot buttons and cold buttons. And what I mean by that is how they're motivated and how they're demotivated. And then if you continue to turn or scroll, you'll see another graph, and it's really more of a horizontal graph of those columns 1 through 8, just another way of visually showing you how that individual measured in certain behaviors. But you're right. The following page would be the interview questions, the behavioral-based interview questions that you can actually use on this particular candidate. And they're really good questions. And like I said, they're designed around the position and also considering the results of that candidate as well. But we give you, with every candidate's report, we also give you the Omnia Selection Companion. I call it a scorecard because it's really just that. It helps you to evaluate the candidate objectively. I know several of you, or all of you, have had several interviews over the course of a day. Maybe you've interviewed three people in a day. And you get towards the end of the day and you try to reflect back on your first interview and you can't really even remember the candidate's responses. So this helps you to evaluate them during the interview and keeps the objective and allows you to kind of look back and see how they did. So it's an interviewing tool, and it's something we provide you with, like I said, with every candidate's report.
And Carlotta, what I was thinking is, in view of the fact that we have about 13 minutes left, mm-hmm. and I know we wanted to save about 10 for questions, maybe you could, I'm sure everybody's wondering, well, what does it cost? So
yes.
Maybe you could address that, and then I will hit the unmute button for the whole group, and we can have questions.
That's a great idea. The way it works, when you're ready to get started using the Omnia profile, it's a very simple process. You give me a call or an email and say, I'm ready to get started. The way it works is I get your account set up online, because remember, you can profile your candidate online. You get your results back online. I get you set up online to begin the profiling process. It takes us a couple of hours to do that. It'd take you about 5 minutes on the phone with me just for me to gather the information I need. Then it takes us on Omnia's in a few hours, get you set up. Then we're going to call you, and we're going to log in with you and show you how to start profiling your candidates or your employees. We hold your hand through the process, even though it is very, very, very simple. But the way it's sold is it is sold in packages. So when you call me, you tell me which package you want to get started with, and I'll put that number of profiles in your account. So, for example, the smallest package we have is 4 Omnia Profile Reports, and it's 4 reports for $560. So that brings your cost to $140 per report. Then we have a 10-pack for $1,350, brings your cost down to $135 each. And our packages really climb from there. They go up to a 500-pack, and I know that's not even going to make sense to discuss, but I'll just stick with the 4 and the 10-pack. Let's say you call me and say, I want to get started. Set me up with a 4-pack. I'm going to put 4 profiles in your account. You're going to buy 4 profiles. You're not limited. You can use those profiles for any position. You can use the profiles to help you hire or to evaluate employees. So if you buy 4, you're not stuck using those 4 profiles for one position. I mean, you're not limited at all. And they don't expire. They just stay there until you need them. We also offer all Atticus clients 1 free Omnia profile report. Typically what happens, most of the attorneys that call me are ready to get set up, and I will add their free profile in their package. So say they call me and say, I'm ready to get started. I have a candidate coming in tomorrow. I want to get started with a 4-pack. They'll buy 4 for $560, and then I'll put their free profile in that package for being an Atticus client.
Okay, great, Carlotta. Well, let's open up the phone lines. I will click 7 here, which allows me to... So now you can unmute yourself by hitting the 6 button and ask a question of Carlotta. So who has a question? If you're talking and you're not being heard, it's because you haven't hit 6.
Is that it?
Can you hear me?
We're hearing you.
Hi, Carlotta. I'm Carolyn Zusser. I'm one of your new registrants.
Hello, Carolyn. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for this program today. My question is, should we be using the sending in information for a client, I mean a potential employee, even before we meet with them? Because I understood, or maybe I misunderstood, that in the profile report there's some good questions to ask the candidate, which said to me that you already started the profile report with a candidate before you actually interview them.
Excellent question.
That is a very good question. So the question is really, when should you administer the profile, ideally,
right,
in the interview process? And that is a very good question. It really does depend on how many candidates you have. So let's say that you have this particular candidate that you want to start the interview process with. I would say conduct a phone screen with them, and if at that point you want to continue on, invite them into the office to start the interview process. Have them complete the whole paperwork process, the application. At that point, ideally, it's a good time to give them the profile. And like I said, you can do that online, or you can give them the paper profile, because we have that too. But ideally, you want to give it to them in the beginning of the interview process. You are not going to pay for them to take the profile. You're only going to pay for the reports that we write. So maybe you've invited them in, they've completed an application and an Omnia profile, and you conduct your first interview with them. Maybe at that point you eliminate them based on that first interview. You just wouldn't send us that profile to analyze. Let's say they do well in the interview and you want to proceed, then you send us the profile, we'll write the report, send it back to you, and then when you invite them back in, because you really do want to have multiple interviews, at least we like 3, but then when you invite them back in, you have the report in front of you and you can really use it to kind of target and customize your interview then. So the sooner the better, if you will. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have clients that may profile their candidate really towards the whole end of that process, and that's okay. But as you mentioned, you're not really able to utilize those behavioral-based interview questions in the same way. But I will say this, keep the interview questions anyway. I mean, you can put them away in a file and just kind of accumulate a nice bank, if you will, of good behavioral-based interview questions that you can continue to use, down the road with other candidates. But ideally, you want to profile them as soon as possible, only so that you see strengths and weaknesses as you conduct that interview.
Hi, this is David Volk from Melbourne. Are you saying that we ask the questions of the candidate and we create a report or profile and then we send it to you for analysis?
You're actually going to profile, give your candidate our assessment. You're going to give that to your candidate. We will then write the report for you and send the report back to you on your candidate. So really the only thing that you're doing is giving them the profile to take, but before we write the report, we want you to complete our position description and job setup form. And we will even do that for you with you on the phone. But we want something to compare your candidate to, and we want it to be as close to your position as possible. So you're going to complete that position description for us right out of your online account, and then you're going to give your candidate the profile. It will come to Omnia. We will write this report and send it back to you.
When you say they complete the assessment, what is it, a series of questions that they write answers to?
Basically what it is, it don't think of a test, because it's not like a forced response type of test. It's more of a profile. It's more of an adjective checklist that they're choosing words. So it's more about they're going to identify adjectives that they would use to describe themselves and others would use to describe them in the workplace. It's that type of an assessment. It's very easy and it's very quick.
Carlotta, is that done online by the candidate or do they do a paper version and then fax it if you're going to actually write it?
Uh-huh. It can be done either way. We will send you paper profiles that you can simply have them use a pen and pen and complete it, but it is online. So what that means is they can come into your office and sit right down at one of your computers and complete the profile, and it will take them, like I said, 10 to 15 minutes. Or, since it's online, you can actually email it to them. You would be emailing them a password, and that password comes with full instructions.
And I think an important point, Carlotta, and I want everybody to make sure they understand, is that you may give it to 13 people, but you may only ask Omnia to write the report on 5.
That's right.
Because, in other words, you want them to fill it in because you might decide not to even interview them. You might, after you interview them, decide that you're not interested in getting the profile on them. You already know you don't want that person.
That's exactly right.
So then you'd send in what they had already done just so you would have it there if you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And you could give 13 people the Omnia profile, and if we're not writing the report, you're just giving them the assessment, you're not paying a penny for that.
Right.
We're only going to deduct if you buy a 4-pack and you say, okay, I want you to evaluate 2 of these 13, then we're just going to deduct 2 of your profiles, out of your package.
Yeah, I thought that was an important point for everybody to get.
That's absolutely correct.
I think we have time for one more question.
Actually, I have a question. Carlotta, do you recommend that for the free, I'm a Atticus member, that the free one be done by the attorney, on the attorney who's hiring, because you want to find out the compatibility with that attorney, so I would think that they need to be one of the people who you have a report on, right?
Oh, that's just I'm so glad you asked that. Absolutely, the free profile can be used for the attorney or any employee there. If you want to be used because you're right, we do want to compare that candidate to the attorney and give that attorney good management advice. But let's just say that you have not taken an Omnia profile. You have a candidate. You want us to give you management advice, and address fit there between you and the candidate, and you really don't want an Omnia profile report on yourself. I would encourage you to do that, but let's just say you don't want to do that. But you do want to be a supervisor benchmark for this candidate. We're going to have you take the profile. We're going to set you up as a supervisor benchmark for that position. And we're going to give you that management advice in the candidate's report, but we are not going to charge you to take the profile to be a supervisor benchmark. The only time we're going to charge you a profile is if we write the report. So, yes, if the attorney wants to take this free profile because maybe they just want to test us and see how accurate we are, and they also know they want to be a supervisor, benchmark with their candidates or employees, absolutely, I can send one to you to take. But sometimes, I'll be honest with you, your clients will call me and say, I have a candidate tomorrow, I need to use this, I want to get set up. And there's really not time there to do a full Omnia report on them. They're in such a hurry to profile their candidate. What I do is I get them set up online. Say they buy a 4-pack. I'll put the free profile in their package just so I can hurry up and get them started. But
go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make clear. Say, for example, the applicant is interviewing, personally with us for the first time. Should we give the test before we ask the questions or after we ask the questions? I just want to make clear with that.
I'm not sure what questions you're referring to. Do you mean
because we are interviewing the applicant.
Right.
But you were mentioning that we could also give them, the personality-based, questionnaire of some sort. Do we administer that before the interview process or afterwards? What would you recommend?
Well, we recommend, ideally, it's best to profile them before. The sooner, earliest as you can in that interview process. But that does not mean if you have a candidate that you've taken through the interview process and you do want to profile them, you can certainly do that. It's just kind of like the less they know about what you're looking for, the better. Because sometimes
that's
people will try to manipulate it a little bit and answer it like they think they should. And now we can pick up on that. We have triggers built in. But it's just always nice that you profile them sooner than later. And I'll tell you another reason why. Because you want to be very consistent in your interview practices. So you want to make sure if you have candidates coming in for your paralegal position and you're going to profile them, profile everyone that comes in and completes the application. Again, doesn't mean we're going to write the report on all of them, but you just want to be consistent. Does that make sense?
Right.
And Carlotta, we have run out of time. I'm sorry when we have, obviously there's some other questions, but if you want to quickly give everyone your email and phone number so that they could get in touch with you or get the website, whatever contact information you want to give out.
That sounds great.
Okay.
My name's Carlotta Neal, and the phone number is 800-525-7117. And my extension is 1226. My email address is cneal, that's N-E-A-L, at Omnia Group, that's O, M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, I-A-G-R-O-U-P.com. You can go to our website. It's omniagroup.com. And
great.
If you request anything from the website, just make sure you mention Atticus.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming. We want to thank you for being here with us, and feel free to give Carlotta an email or a call or whatever if you have further questions. And if you missed her contact information, you can always email me, Judi, at Atticus Online, which you're familiar with, judi@atticusonline.com, and I'll be glad to send you that contact information if you missed it. With that, I'm going to say goodbye, and thanks again for being here, and thank you, Carlotta.
Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.